Well, good evening, children. It's good to have you here. And we've been talking about falling, and we've been talking about how we can keep from falling. And we were looking at a passage that talks about if we're walking in Christ, if we're rooted in Christ, if we're built up in Christ, if we're grateful, and if we watch out for the bad guy. I'll say it that way because the picture tomorrow night is a pretty sad picture. And I want you to really look at it and see what you see on that picture. But tonight we're going to be talking about walking in Christ. How many of you have been playing at home and you found Daddy's shoes? Did you ever find Daddy's shoes and put your feet in them? Or Mommy's shoes? Sometimes girls like to dress up in Mommy's shoes. And probably they don't fit you, do they? Probably a little big. Well, tonight we're going to talk about walking in Jesus' shoes.
What do you see there? He's walking in footsteps, someone's tracks, isn't he?
Where do you think he's going?
Where do the footsteps lead to? Where?
A cross.
Now, who do you think went to the cross? The boy, but who else went to the cross?
Jesus.
Jesus went to the cross for you and I. And do you think that maybe if you walk in Jesus' footsteps, it'll take you to the right place? I think so. Tell you a little story.
Brother Dave was up in Canada, mission work, and we had a trapping course. That's where we went out into the bush. And we had a native man who was leading that course. And that last day we went about, I think it was close to 14 miles. And it was through deep snow. And Brother Dave had snowshoes on. But his snowshoes kept falling off. And guess what happened? After a while, Brother Dave was all by himself. Everyone left him behind. And he was tired, and he felt like giving up. The only thing he had to watch to know where to go, what do you think it was? Other people's footsteps. So I just kept putting one foot ahead of the other, and I kept walking and walking. And finally, I came out to a big lake where all the others were waiting on me. Now, there's a little story behind that. When I was back at the school and I was telling my students about going to trapping, they were kind of laughing at me. And I said, Brother Dave has big, strong legs. But what do you think happened to Brother Dave's big, strong legs? By the time I was done that day, my big, strong legs would barely work. I was wore out. But the point I want to make is that if you walk, are you listening? Would you really like to walk in Daddy's footsteps? I hope so. Would you like to walk in Mommy's footsteps? I hope so. But would you really like to walk in Jesus' footsteps? Yes. Because walking in Jesus' footsteps is going to help keep you from falling.
What do you see there? Someone say, trees? Can you tell me what's different about the two trees? Is anything different?
The one is bigger than the other.
One is bigger. That's true. But there's something more important.
You can see the roots.
Okay, you can see the roots. Is there anything different about the roots? Yes? Oh. Now I got a question for you. If a storm comes up, which tree do you think will stay standing? This one on this side or that one on that side? Which one?
The one on this side.
Why?
Because it has deeper roots to hold it.
How deep are your roots? You got deep roots? You're going to need them. Let's see. Wonder what happens. Whoops. Yeah. Oh, it's upside down. There we go. That's because I'm looking. What happened? What happened to that one tree?
It fell down.
It fell down. And do you think it had anything to do with the small roots? I think so. And you know what? God wants you to be rooted in Christ so that you won't what?
Fall.
That's right. If you're walking in Christ, if you're rooted in Christ, then you won't be as quick to fall. Let's see what happened to this poor fellow. Yeah. Got a problem here. One person has a smile on their face. The other one has a frown. And he's crying out for help. Why is he crying out for help? What's happening? What? It's raining, that's right. It's raining hard. And what's happening to his house?
It's falling down.
It's falling down. Why do you think his house is falling down? Kristen?
It's on the sand.
It's on the sand. Where should have he built?
On the rock.
On the rock. See, the other house is on the rock, but this house is on the sand. And guess what? When the rain, you like storms? Brother Dave doesn't like storms. They still scare me. I look for shelter when a storm comes. Well, storms will come in your life, but if your house is built on the rock, guess what? It's going to stand. But if you built your house on the sand, you might be saying, help, someone help me. Which one do you want to be?
Build on the rock.
Build on the rock. So, okay, let's review. You're going to walk in Christ, right?
Walk in the footsteps.
It'll lead you to the cross. You're going to be rooted. How do you get rooted? Well, maybe by obeying mom and dad. By reading the Bible, by learning about God, by praying, by going to church, and then you're going to be built in Christ, which is going to be on the what? Built on the
rock.
On the rock. If we had time, we'd sing that song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the house went smash. You want to make sure you build your house on Jesus Christ. Now come back tomorrow night because I have a very sad picture of mine. Every time I look at it, it even makes Brother Dave feel very sad. I want you to see it. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these young people. Lord, I pray that they would build their house on the rock, that the rains, the wind, the storm would not be able to make them fall. Help them to walk in you. Help them to be rooted in you and to be filled up in you. Bless their families in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back.
I'm reminded tonight of Jesus' words. Except you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I think sometimes us older people maybe forget who we really are and what our needs really are. Well, it's a real blessing to be here again this evening. I've certainly enjoyed this week in being able to share with you, but more than that, to be able to visit in your homes over good food, a lot of good fellowship. I appreciate so much the hospitality and have enjoyed getting to know you. As often happens during a week of meetings, about the time it's time to go home, that's when I really feel like I'm starting to connect with the congregation, and it's usually pretty hard to leave, and I think that's going to be the case this week. And I just want to express appreciation to all of you for your prayers, for your encouragements, affirmation, and just for the willingness to allow God to speak in your hearts and lives. Tonight's message, I want to be focusing somewhat on the home. And if the Lord continues to lead, I'd like to bring a message to the youth tomorrow evening. I enjoy the young people, and I enjoy them sitting up here where I can look them in the eye. And so young people, come back tomorrow night, and we'll plan to have a message kind of designed specifically for you. I really do believe in the importance of family. And there's a scripture that I would have you turn to tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20, that I want to use for the text, for the message tonight. The message tonight is geared specifically to fathers. Although it doesn't necessarily just apply to fathers, but it focuses specifically on our responsibility as dads. And as we look at this text, we read this verse, Deuteronomy 6, verse 20, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt you say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God," and I like this, "for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." The title of the message tonight is simply this: When thy son asketh thee. And I might say here right at the beginning, it would apply also to the saying, when thy daughter asketh thee. I would like to suggest at the very beginning of this message that we as dads have a tremendous opportunity and also a tremendous responsibility. I've already shared with you, I think, this concern or burden that I have, that oftentimes at the stage of life where parents and children should be the closest to each other and the most open with each other is often the place where they're not speaking to each other, where Satan has them separated from each other because of things that have happened or because of issues, because of various and sundry kinds of experiences. And I think that is so unfortunate that that kind of thing happens. And I'd like to talk about some of those things this evening. The question I would have, how well are we doing as dads in the transmission of faith to the next generation? That's one question. How well are we doing as fathers in communicating or transmitting the faith to the next generation? Another question, how prepared will our sons and daughters be to resist evil and to stand for the truth? And the last question is, when they come with their questions of why, are you listening to me? When they come with their questions of why, and we know most certainly they will, do we have an answer? Are we able to provide them with a reason? Are we able to take them to biblical principles? In reading the Old Testament, and particularly as you read the law, you find this recurring theme, which every time I see it, it moves my heart, that God has for His people. It's best expressed, if you go with me to chapter 4, let me just look at this first. Chapter 4, verse 40. Here it says, now let's go to chapter 5, first of all, verse 29. This is really the one I want, I believe. Yes. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go down to verse 38. Ye shall walk in all his ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, notice this phrase, that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Now if we go back to chapter 4, verse 40, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may be well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth. I'm saying a recurring theme that God had for his people was that they would not learn the ways of the heathen, that they would not follow the practices of the heathen, and that they would not go after the heathen's gods. And as you read, you get the distinct impression that God was really concerned about this. So I would ask you, why was God so concerned that the people not go after the ways of the heathen and after their gods? Was God simply trying to restrict their freedom? Was he trying to make it difficult for his people? Was he trying to spoil their fun? Or did God see something that maybe they did not see? And what you discover is a principle that we do well to understand tonight, and that's simply this. All of God's prohibitions I want you to think about this. All of God's prohibitions were motivated by His deep love and goodness towards mankind. Let me say that again. All of God's prohibitions for His people were motivated by His deep love and His goodness towards mankind. It was a love that motivated God to protect His chosen people from the things that would eventually destroy their lives. Our brother shared tonight of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Over and over again, it seemed like God's people struggled with following and obeying His commands. As we look at this text that I've read tonight, going back to chapter 6, verses 20 to the end of the chapter, there are several observations I would make. The first one is simply this. Children will ask questions. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Notice what it says. When thy son asketh thee. You ever had this question? Dad, what's wrong with that? Dad, why do I have to do this? Dad, why can't I go there? Dad, why don't we go to the movies? Why don't we have a TV, Dad? Why don't we go bowling? Dad, why do I wear a covering? Why can't I wear this? And we could go on and on with the kinds of questions that children have. And I would like to say to us tonight, questions that we as dads and as parents do well to give good answers to. It's not enough to say, it's just one of our rules. It's not enough to say, the church makes us do it, although that's not necessarily a wrong reason. But I'm suggesting that's not good enough. It's not enough to say it's the way we've always done it. I would make a second observation from this passage. When I saw this, this answered a question in my mind. And a question that many dads have voiced to me many, many times. And it's this. They would say, Dave, how do you talk to your children? How do you communicate with your children? What do you say to them? And I'm here to suggest to you tonight that this passage of Scripture gives every father a tremendous platform to begin conversation with their children. I just love this. That's my second observation. God provides a basic structure or framework from which parents can adequately answer their children's questions. Let me tell you what it is. Fathers, are you listening to me? Tell your children about sin. Fathers, tell your children about bondage. Fathers, tell your children about deliverance. Fathers, talk to your children about protection. And I would say too often we miss the opportunities to share heart issues with our children upon which everything else hinges. You know what happens to us? Most of us as parents get hung up on the issues, on the surface issues that we're struggling with our children. You know what? Our children, they need to know the foundation. They need to know the heart issues. And I see God providing for dads a framework by which they can open up the doors of communication and establishing principles that will keep their children through life. The third observation I would make is simply this. To fail, are you listening? To fail to give answers or to provide teaching will handicap your child as they face the issues of life. Now, if you don't think I feel very strongly about this, you misunderstand. I feel extremely, there's just a lot of conviction with what I share. I've talked to too many young people. And one of the reasons that young people have not had a foundation for life is because parents were too busy teaching them many things that were not critical, though maybe important, and they missed what was most critical in the lives of their children. I'll tell you, you don't get a second chance. Once the years have gone, they've gone by. And it's very, very important. The transmission of faith does not happen in a vacuum. We are only one generation away from apostasy. I'd like you to go with me to Psalms chapter 78, another scripture that would communicate some of these same ideas. Psalm 78. Notice what it says here. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them. I like this. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. I see, you know, it's just interesting to me. Do you know that Christianity is an open system? I'll tell you, a lot of us live in darkness. A lot of us operate in darkness, but the Christianity is not a dark system. That which was known, that which was heard, that which was seen, that which was manifested in God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. God wants His principles made known to the next generation. It's not a closed system. Why? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And may not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and in whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying back bows, turned back in the day of battle. There's so much in here I could talk about, but I don't have time. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. A couple observations from this scripture. You might want to take them down. First one, we must not neglect communicating truth to our children. Why? Because there has been a testimony that's established and needs to be communicated. There has been a law that has been appointed that must be obeyed. And these need to be known by our children. If we look at the why, it's that they might set their hope in God, that they would not forget the works of God, that they would keep His commandments, and that they would be prepared for the day of battle. If we fail here, apostasy is the result. What do we see in this passage? They kept not His command. They refused to walk in His law. And they forgot His work. There are four things that dads must communicate to their children. The first one is this. We must teach our children God's truth. And I'm not going to go back to Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9, just for lack of time. But our primary calling as dads, hear me well, is not to teach a good work ethic, though that may be important. Our primary calling as dads is not to teach how to be a good carpenter, or a good farmer, though that may be important. Our primary calling as dads is not to teach how to run a business, though that may be helpful. But our primary calling is to teach how to be a Christian. How to be a person of character, a man of God, a woman of God. How to obey God and how to be holy. You could ask, how do we do this? When do we do this? Well, the Scripture tells us all the time. Now, I know that seems impossible. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you're working with your son or daughter, in the car, in the living room, in the shop, lots of opportunities to teach your children how to be a Christian. One of the things that Ellie does, I love this. If I go into our bathroom, I can just count on, there's going to be something on the mirror that'll speak to my heart. When I go into my boys' bathroom, there's often something on the mirror. She changes it. It is scriptures that point them to faithfulness and character. The Old Testament said on your doorpost, you know, our houses are decorated with everything sometimes but what they should be decorated with. Our children need to be immersed in the Word of God. I find that a lot of children don't even know what the Scripture teaches. Fathers, you need to sit down, tell your children Bible stories. You need to spend time with them, teaching them the Word of God. I sound like I'm preaching. I don't mean to. I was going to get up here and say, I was actually thinking, I got to get up here and just, I want to talk as a father to a father. But here I am preaching at you. But anyway, I don't mean to be preaching at you. Because I know what the challenge is, but there's an urgency and a burden that I feel that is so critical to the lives of our children. The second thing that fathers must do, we must be willing to answer the hard questions. Dad, what's wrong with that? Dad, why do we have to do this? Dad, why can't I go there? Dad, why in the world do I have to wear this? Or why can't I wear that? I remember the days when I was going to school. Pants that were short and fairly tight on the leg, and then you wore white socks. All of my friends did it. Some of you don't. What? Why can't I do it? My dad used to have his statement. It used to irritate me. Others may, but you cannot. Now, he had a lot more to say than that, but that's what I remember. Others may, but you cannot. Boy, doesn't that make you feel real good? Others get to do it, but I can't do it. Remember, my son was with a group of guys that had just been to Bible school late one evening. Come home and he said, Dad, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He said, Dad, why don't we go bowling? He was with a bunch of friends, and as they were thinking about the evening, someone wanted to go bowling. He had to make a decision. Was he going to go along with them? Or was he going to come home? He made the decision to come home, but it was not an easy decision. I would like to suggest this evening that a way to begin this process